Hey, this is B. Haywood, executive producer of Confirm Multimedia. And if you want extra content, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/confirm and get early access to all of our content.
You're listening to Confirm.
Big and Lazy.
This is the Big and Lazy podcast. This is Big, and we got a very special service for y'all. Early access.
Buymeacoffee.com/confirmed.
$5 will get you early access to the episode next day.
And $8 will get you exclusive content as well as early access to the episode. So if you don't want to miss any of the good stuff that we've got going on, then please subscribe to us at buymeacoffee.com/confirmed. Bye.
You're listening to Confirm.
This podcast was produced by B. Haywood for Confirm Podcast Network.
If you fucking let me know, put that pussy on the floor. Bad bitches come ready, text a nigga, come and get it. 93, unleaded, rolling up while I hit it. Ay, she gon' lick the diamonds in my rolling, she done asked me. Then she got the pulling out of tits, she tryna flash me. Told her, bend it over, do that same shit from last week. Put that pussy on me for the finish, she attacked me.
Big and Lazy Podcast.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
We back. I'm Big. This is my homie. Co-host.
Lazy.
Big and Lazy. Fool.
And tell him we got a special guest, man. Another legendary. Big, Lazy.
This is a legendary guest right here, man. Special but legendary, man.
It's nice that y'all think that I'm that important.
Hey, man.
It's nice. I appreciate it.
Go ahead
and
introduce yourself.
I go by
man.
The name of Bone. I'm really nobody, but I appreciate y'all thinking that I'm somebody, man. You know
appreciate it, man.
I appreciate it.
Appreciate
that.
You being here.
Appreciate you stopping by.
And he got the hit song, man. Like I said, man, you one of the biggest artists that, especially in a city like Louisville, our scene, like our club scene, man, homegirl went crazy. He got up.
Man, I love coming down.
And it still go crazy.
But I loved coming down here. Like, I was just telling somebody, like, I used to go to O'Malley's, like, all the time. I loved it. I loved that shit. That was classic. But I used to tell people, nigga, Louisville used to be rough, man.
Still is.
You couldn't just come down here like that. You had to really, really be on that shit.
Right, right.
Yeah, you did, man. Like,
and I feel like your shit still, like, I would have been places, man, recently, and it's still...
Yeah, that go.
Hopefully.
Yeah, mine's went out for a second. So
okay.
We'll be right back.
When that when they hit the floor, that dance, you know what I mean? That was one of them jammers, like that's one of them, like the, you know, Jeezy lad. You know what I mean? It's the same.
You get the same, what you call it. So
do you got any ties to Louisville? Like, what brings you to the city? Like?
I have a few relatives here. I got three cousins. You know what I mean? But besides
That's from the city?
Yeah.
Mike Kid Cos?
Yeah.
That's my dog.
Yeah.
How you know Kid Cos?
That's my little cousin.
The first time I ever.
Brandon is the big cousin.
Yeah.
And Giorgio? Me and Giorgio the same age.
Uh-huh.
The first time I ever touched the booth was with Kid Cos.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. That's my cousin. Yeah. I was supposed to go see him today and watch the game with him. Didn't even go.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. What game?
The Browns and Steelers.
I
was gonna watch the Browns and Steelers game with them, but I didn't want to catch an Uber over there.
We was in his homie's living room when we recorded a song, and he was like, "You rap?" I was like, "Man, I want to." And he was like, "Man, come on, let's do a song." And I was like, "Ever since then, it's been like big bro. He got the clothing line."
Oh yeah.
Shout out to Kid Cos, man.
He was supposed to bring me some clothes, didn't bring me the clothes.
Hey, man, he got some. Clone and liquor, don't you?
Yeah, liquor too, Shout out Kid Cos, man. It's big bro, man.
I'm proud of him,
legendary, man. Legendary nigga from the city.
I'm extreme. But you got to understand, like, I've been coming out here, like, probably, like, 12, 13 years.
Yeah.
He used to be with me all the time, you know what I mean?
And right.
From the first time I had a show here to, you know, I ain't going to say the last because he didn't come last night. But,
right.
I got a story about Kid Cos. We went to school together, and he dropped that Flame Game with Billy. I forget Billy's rap name. I want to say it was Dice or Nice, but I just bought the CD, right?
Mm-hmm.
I go home, I put it in my dicky
pocket.
You
bought it from him at school?
Yeah, he's burning the CD. I bought the CDs.
Yo,
man,
he's a supporter.
Before I get home, I put it in my pocket, man. I get home to listen to it, man. And the motherfucker broke in half.
Oh man.
I was sick like a puppy, bro. Like,
and you know they was gonna ask you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, mm-hmm. Man. It was a nice little mix, man. That's my Kid Cos story.
So where are you from, bro? Let's get
I'm
a little
originally from Atlanta, Texas.
Okay.
East Texas.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And so Atlanta and Texas?
Atlanta, Texas. That's where I'm from.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So what's the difference like growing up there and like
Well, it's only 5,000 people. So it's an extremely small town. And shit, the only thing there is football. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like high school football.
Friday Night Lights.
Yeah. Hey, shit. You think it ain't when it is. That's a very real thing.
Yeah.
So, did you play?
Yeah.
That's what I was about to say.
I played in high school. I didn't play in college.
Oh, yeah. That's what's up.
You feel like you could have?
I could have, but the system that we ran in high school wasn't like a pass-heavy system. It was a run-heavy system, and I played receiver. So the only real good thing I really learned how to do was block.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know, so if I could have went to probably a high school with a different system to where they actually threw the ball, then I probably would have went to college to play football, but we didn't even throw
the
football.
Spent 4 years blocking, shit, I'm out of here.
Yeah, 4 years blocking and tackling. That was pretty much it. We won state my junior year, though, so, you know, it wasn't like just a waste, but we ran the ball. We ran the fucking veer, so you already know we wasn't throwing the ball.
The wing tee?
Huh?
You talking about the wing tee?
We ran the veer.
Oh, wow.
We ran the veer out the we didn't run the wing tee, but we ran like a bastardized version. It was still a split, and we had the slot, so it was kind of wing tee-ish, but it wasn't really wing tee-ish, but we ran the veer.
Oh, was you doing music in high school? When did you start doing music?
When I was 7. Well, I ain't gonna say started, because started mean implying that I actually recorded some. I didn't probably record some until I was 14, 15.
Okay.
Maybe. Yeah. But yeah, I was selling mixtapes, selling albums in high school.
Oh, you was already real active in really
definitely
trying to get,
but you know, there nobody's a rapper. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I was telling somebody yesterday, like, when I used to put, I'm going to be a rapper on, like, what you want to be when you grow up. When I used to put rapper down, my teachers used to look at me like, this nigga. You know what I mean? Like, this nigga want to put rapper down.
Yeah.
Nigga, all the things you could possibly be, nigga, you want to put rapper down.
Hey.
But
you knew what you wanted to do, though.
Yeah, I loved it back then. You know what I mean? It was just, it's crazy to think about, because I was born in 87. So by 92, you know what I mean? I think, I don't know when it came out, 90, 91, but I could rap Ice Cube's They Had a Good Day word for word.
Yeah.
And then in 92, I knew nothing but a G thing word for word.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
my son, he's 6. He loved Today Was a Good Day.
Yeah. Like, word for word. And then after that, you just, you know, but even, and a lot of people don't talk about it, but SWV.
Yeah.
At that time, the whole way that the production was, it was branching into the hip hop and R&B influence that it is now. Like, they had a huge, like, most of their stuff was like, you know, like the you're the one for me. Like, that beat was, I used to like fake rap in the back of my mama's car to that beat all the time. You know what I mean? Just like during the breaks and stuff, you sip little bars and then she come back in. So, you know,
that's where I fell in love with music too, the back seat.
Yeah. You know, so I try. My daughter's like that. My 6-year-old, she wants to rap. So, and I want you to understand, I'm not bone to her. I'm dad.
Right.
So,
right.
You know what I mean? She ain't never seen me perform. Mm-hmm. She, you know, she's seen the video because people have showed the video to her and stuff like that. But
and kids other than, on YouTube.
Yeah, other than knowing that I rap, she don't really know that she never knew. Or what came with it. And then one day, her mom had sent me a fucking video, and she was standing on top of the thing, and she was just rapping. And I was like, so the girl got it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I was like, the girl's the one that got it, huh? I was like, none of the boys. Fucking girl.
Far from the tree,
the
man.
Fucking girl. But I got 2 boys, 2 girls, and she's my youngest girl. And I'm like,
But what's amazing is you said it's only 5,000 people in your town, in your city.
You still live there?
Hell no. I stay in Fort Worth now.
Okay.
Fort Worth and Chicago. So I'm back and forth between Fort Worth and Chicago.
Yeah, okay. I fuck with Chicago. It's one of my favorite places. It's amazing, bro. I got to give you your flowers on that to come from a small place like that and it didn't get that light on you. You know what I'm saying? Like I said before, it can't, you know, the song, you know, before we started. Man, that song is major, bro. And it's like, and I know it probably took you places that you never thought you would go. And that's...
Well, that's the thing. I did think I would go those places. I just didn't... I did think I was going to go there. Facts. But, you know, you have that little bit inside of you to be like, man, I don't know, man. But especially where I'm from, like I was telling somebody earlier, like where I'm from, we call it hater high.
Yeah.
So you know what I mean? So everybody there is a hater. And you know, I I grew up within that and I got a lot of that in me. So you know what I mean? For me, it's like I had to when I went to college, I was able to get a lot of that out of me. But
yeah.
But also when I got my deal, I had to learn how I really saw how hard it was. You know right. what I mean? Like I really saw the grind and I really saw like it changed me completely. Like I really gave up hating after that.
Yeah.
And I used to be like a huge hater. Like huge
taking hater. Taking that hater rate.
Yeah.
Man, it's because
hate and passion is.
Well, yeah, but you know, shit. In the era we grew up, everything was about being the best. Being the best rapper, yeah. being the best. Yeah. So you got to be competitive to be the best rapper. You got to be. So I'm super competitive with anybody that says they're rap. Well, I used to be. I used to be like right. super competitive. Anybody say they rap, well, I'm better. I ain't right. got to hear them. I don't got to know. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I used to just say that shit just regardless. Like, oh, no, I'm better than that nigga. Easy. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, I didn't even care who it was. First time I ever met Sci-Hi the Prince.
Hey, that's my favorite nigga.
Legend.
Dog.
First time I ever met Sci-Hi the Prince, we was in Onyx, I think. And I was trying to get Greg, we was trying to get Greg Street to fuck with the record. And Greg Street wouldn't fuck with the record because he was pushing Sci-Hi. He was pushing Sci-Hi. And he was on one of them, if y'all not going to help me push Sci-Hi, I ain't helping with a motherfucking thing. And so, you know, I got to meet Sci-Hi, and they was like, shit, we probably just need to put you on the record with Sci-Hi. And I'm like, shit, do that, nigga. I eat that nigga alive. I'll give a fuck. And they're all looking at me like, bro, this, yeah, I feel yeah. you. You know, the confidence is high, but nigga, uh-huh. that's Sci-Hi.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The record never manifested, but, you know, that was probably when I had first got my deal. I was 22, and I was still like mm-hmm. that. Like, nigga, I don't give a fuck who it is, nigga. But, right. but you line him up.
Yeah,
shit, you lied him up. I don't give a fuck about him. Who the fuck he is. Like, shit, do you not know who I am?
Right.
I start talking to niggas like that.
Hey, sometimes, you know, especially when you work so hard, my nigga, it's like, shit.
Well, I mean, you know, but it's just a perspective, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Just to be competitive. And then as I start going along, I became a lot less competitive and more focused on the business and everything else because I think that's part of where that competitive spirit comes from, is that you don't understand the business. So you put all of your passion into, I'm going to just be the best.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Then when you start learning the business and getting into the business, you start giving a fuck about that. You want right. to be the best business person. Then you want to be shit. I want to.
You can push you ever if you're the good business person.
Yeah, I want to have this together. I want to have this together. I want, you know what I mean? You start getting into everything to try to see if there's some type of way that you could master that aspect of the game, and you don't even think about the rapping like that no more. You'd be like, shit, this shit is second nature.
Yeah.
What about after we drop the record? We got to do it in, and we got to do this. Yeah. We got to do this. So back then, it used to just be, you know, come from class, hear a beat. Like, shit, what you thinking? What you thinking? What you thinking? What you thinking? And then we do something, but shit.
Right.
Now, it don't even matter about the song. Like, somebody like the song that he was just playing, the one I got with Behan and Jay Shine and everybody. Like they was like, hey man, you need to, man, that could be something, man. You need, you know what I'm saying? You need to try to put. I'm like, man, yeah, you know, I just gotta get out here and do, you know what I mean?
Right,
like
right.
you can, I only get so excited about records, you know what I mean? Like probably that initial nostalgia, and then after that, once you think about all the work that has to go into it, you just you don't even think about the excitement. You be like, well shit, I gotta get out here and grind it out.
What's
try to see
take?
If I can make it work.
What's your favorite part of, like, you say, what's your favorite part of the music game? Like, you say recording or performing.
Or the business.
Engineering.
Favorite part? It's kind of everything. I don't think it's, like, one particular part that I like more than the other. I just like it. I'm just grateful that I can be a part of it, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I know I run across so many rappers and I know so many rappers who just wish they could do half of what I do.
Facts,
so
though.
I don't take it for granted or be like, ah, man, you know what I mean? Like, I did at one point. I had to go to therapy for that. But
therapy for what? Like,
after I lost my deal from Def Jam, I was in college. And I didn't really lose it. L.A. Reid had resigned and they only kept like four or five artists, and the artists they kept like Rihanna and Rick Ross, you know, Jeezy, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
All of those other people, you know, me, Lil Rue,
Yeah, I remember LaRue.
Blood Raw. You know what I'm saying? All of us, we bit the can. But all them niggas, they made it. So it was more so just after that point, you know what I mean? And I just didn't think that I achieved everything that I wanted to. I set out in my mind. You know, you have a goal list. And I didn't feel like I, you know, knocked off enough on that goal list for me personally anyway. Mm-hmm. And I just, I don't know, I was depressed. I went through probably about like a good 2-3 years of depression.
Yeah.
And a lot of that helped me out was going back to school and getting my master's, and after, you know, just learning in the process of getting my master's and going to therapy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of that just really helped put things in perspective that although I might not have achieved what I set out to, I'm still living a miraculous and amazing life.
Yeah.
That, you know what I mean, a small percentage of people get to. Thanks. It's just that once you see the world and you get to a pinnacle, you know, it's hard to
Dumb it down.
It's hard to just be like, what you mean? What you mean? What you mean? You know what I mean? But, you know, they got doctors for that. So, you know, anybody going through it, you can always go see a doctor. I encourage people all the time to go to therapy.
That's amazing, especially in the black community.
I think
community,
every
man.
Black man.
Yeah, man.
Just needs some type
of. I don't think I have more trauma than the average black man, but I got a lot of trauma. So it's just a lot of shit that sometimes you just have to deal with and just talk about. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? With somebody that's not going to be judging you. And a lot of times we talk to people about our personal stuff to people that's going to judge us.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's facts, though.
Yeah, like my like one of my relatives, I was like, and this ain't got nothing to do with nothing, but like having a, if you have a, possibly have a kid, you know what I'm saying, out there, you know, and you just like, you know what I mean, I don't know, you know what I mean, it might be my, you know, you got a maybe out there. And I was like, shit, if it's out there, shit, motherfucker ain't going to, shit, say nothing to me. I ain't gonna say nothing back.
Let sleeping dogs lie.
I got, you know what I mean? I got four. I ain't trying to add no more. You know what I mean? Right. I was talking about me. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I ain't talking about everybody else. I'm just talking about me. Motherfucker, you put the, if it's my responsibility, I take it. Right. But if you know, I ain't finna go, you know.
Snooping for it.
You said you were signed with Def Jam. You wanna give us like the details of that deal? Like how did that come about?
Oh man, it was super dope. I was in college at the time, and it was actually homecoming. Mm-hmm. And his name Eric Parler. He was the head radio guy at Def Jam at the time. He had hit this DJ I know in Dallas named Quick Mix Rick, and they had called me on 3-way, and he talking to me, and I'm like, he like, oh, I'm from Def Jam. I'm with, you know, EP. He's like, you been talking to City? I was like, oh yeah, yeah. He's like, yeah, yeah, I know. You know what I'm saying? We talking about getting you out here, and I was like, not believing it. You know what I mean? Like you know. So whatever. So I end up going to class, just going through my normal day. Then I was cutting my homie hair, getting ready to go to hump day. We got this thing at Prairie View. It's like a big party in the middle of the day in campus. And
Prairie View A&M?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And he called me. He was like, yeah, you know, I'm about to get this plane ticket. I'm going to fly you out here tomorrow. And then we're going to go to New York on Friday. And I'm like, okay, bet. So, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So that night, I got the ticket, and I was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
This is for real.
I'm about to fly to Atlanta. So, shit, my partner dropped me off at Hobby. I flew out of Hobby, which is crazy to think about now because I only fly out of Bush. But I flew out of Hobby, and I went to Atlanta, met City for the first time. Then we flew to New York the next day, and I auditioned for L.A. Reid, and shit, they signed me on the spot.
Damn.
That's what's up. Like, what was the... What was the numbers on that, if you don't mind me asking? Like, what's the...
Like what? What you mean?
Like the money, like far as the money-wise. Like, what was the...
Like the total deal? The total deal, there was like $250 or something like that.
Oh, okay. Was that up front or just...
Yeah, I mean, well, it was like the total deal. So, right. The total deal was like $250, yeah.
And they still trying to recoup, what they call it, recoup?
Uh-huh.
Shit like that, but...
Ain't no recoup, but...
Okay.
But, yeah, you know.
That's amazing, though, bro. That's why I said, like, man, you've done things that... Artists, like I'm an artist, like I've rapped for years, and you know, but you've done things that people would dream to do, just to rap in front of L.A. Reid, whether it worked out or not, you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
that's amazing.
I mean, but I actually auditioned for this guy at Jive. I forgot his name, but he's like one of the biggest niggas in the world, white guys ever.
Yeah.
He wasn't feeling it, so you know what I mean.
Right.
So,
door closes, another, you know, everybody ain't gonna say no. But what's the this is still on the same subject, but it's kind of, you know, a weird question. But who's somebody you've met that you just like, damn, I really just met this motherfucker?
Man, you know, the first time I ever got like rapper jitters or like fan doubt jitters was Kid and Play.
Kid
like,
and Play?
Kid and Play fanned me the fuck out. Like, really? I was sitting there like, oh my fucking God, nigga, this Kid and Play, nigga, this.
Damn.
I mean, and I guess because I've seen House Party like so many. And again, like I said, House Party is one of those movies that inspired me to rap. You know what I mean? Like, when they did that battle, I used to know that battle word for word. You know what I mean? Is it going to be me or Eraserhead? You know, when it said it's the play's going to be the victorious. Well, I mean, I remember that whole battle word for word. So so for me, it's like, you know what I mean? That seeing them niggas was like, I was like, bro, I used to watch all the House Party. I didn't watch that. I was like, House Party 3, my favorite House Party. You know what I mean? Like, I remember one summer, I watched That's House amazing, Party 3 man. Every day.
Yeah, House Party period is a
classic.
So I
never watched
them
all the way through. I never watched
them. Nigga, I watched House Party 3 particular. I think I was probably like 10 or 11. I watched it every day. I can remember that summer, I watched, for whatever reason, I put it on. I watch it. I might leave, go play, come back.
Yeah.
Put it back on. Like, I burned that tape to the ground. Like, it was still VHSs. You know what I mean?
So when you seen Kid and Play, you was like, dog.
I was like,
that's Kid and Play.
Kid and fucking Play.
You know, they had cartoons and everything.
Like, I talked to him. I was telling him, bro, I watched House Party.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you don't know. And that was an All-Star weekend in Dallas.
Okay.
Yeah, it was All-Star Weekend in Dallas. But we ran in, so I'm with my homies. We run into Lisa Ray, right?
Damn.
She fine in real life.
First of all, she's perfect in real life. Yeah. But we run into Lisa Ray, and my homies, they did, one of my homies, he's one of them guys that, you know, you got a friend that always tell jokes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Don't matter what the situation is.
Right.
He said, hey, I'm finna go up to her with these ones and say, ain't you Diamond from the Players Club? I said, bro, please don't do that.
Please don't
embarrass me. Bro, I just got here. Please don't embarrass me.
And she hella bougie in real life, too.
No, but she was cool, though. She was cool. Yeah. She was cool. No, fuck no. He didn't do anything. I'm begging him. Yeah. I'm not only asking him, but I'm begging, bro, please.
Yeah. Please don't do it.
Don't do it. I just got here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I just got, don't do this to me. Not Lisa Ray. Anybody else, not Lisa Ray. And then, but my partner's, you know, gorgeous. So she's walking by and she's about to leave and he said, excuse me, ma'am, can I please get a picture? So she says, oh, cool. So she took 5 minutes to get ready for this picture.
Damn.
Really?
5 minutes. And this nigga so shook, he ain't even get in the picture with her. He just took a picture.
Damn, man.
I fuck with him about that to this day. Yeah. I call him on FaceTime, he'll hang up. Well, I don't got FaceTime no more. But I call him right now, Fuck you, nigga. How you gonna take a picture of Lisa Ray? Huh? We was at IHOP. Off Cocker Hill in 30. Yeah. The IHOP off Cocker Hill in 30 in Dallas.
Okay.
Very specific. Very specific. I remember.
Did you have pancakes?
I don't know what I ordered. Yeah. I don't know what I ordered that. I probably didn't even eat no food.
So how y'all feel about her and other women saying that they don't pay no bills? If you want to get with them, the zero bill.
That's the game.
But I understand that, though. They millionaires. And I tell people all the time.
But we don't understand. Lisa Ray used to be a queen.
Yes.
Like, she was the queen of Turks and Caicos.
Facts.
She was.
She was the queen of Turks and Caicos. Like, the reason why niggas vacation in Turks and Caicos now is because of Lisa Ray. Niggas was not going to Turks and Caicos before she became the queen of Turks and Caicos.
Yeah. Damn.
Yeah, nah.
Why they get a divorce, though?
He fucked Roxy.
What?
Cheated on her with Roxy.
The porn star?
Nah, Roxy from 106 Apart.
Yeah.
Oh, what? Damn. Oh, wow.
Cheated on her with Roxy, man.
I think a man should be allowed to have as many women and
baby mamas.
You ain't
got to pay no bills?
Well, the issue is that he's a king. So he probably don't see it the same way that we see it, you know what I mean, and as far as cheating and shit like that. But this is Lisa Ray. She looking at it from a perspective. And she probably, but the thing is, he probably had 4 or 5 bitches, you know what I mean?
Right, already.
Like, yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, now
there.
She hit the fan.
So there. So she was probably being able to control that because it's there. But then you want another American? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I'm the only one. I feel her.
You what the fuck? American, you can't have no American bitches. Now, if you want some little work, Turk and Caicos.
Yeah.
You know, that's fine, but you can't have no American.
Yeah.
Nah, you can't do that.
So,
You ever been to Turkey? Go ahead.
Who's the coldest besides Lisa Ray? Like, you know, you've been in these rooms, these different type of rooms, and seeing these different type of celebrities or people that women that's close to celebrity. Who's the finest one you'd have never seen that'll make us be like, man, you seen? Besides Lisa Ray, because Lisa Ray Diamond is beautiful.
I'm about to say, man. You know, honestly, man, and this is no knock, and I've been around a bunch. I would still have to give it to Lisa Ray.
Damn.
Lisa Ray is a fine woman.
She just, is, though. Diamond was a... That's some of the first pair of titties I've seen.
I mean, yeah. Just because she's natural. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? For the most part. You know what I mean? Like, ain't no real enhancement as far as the mm-hmm. ass and the titties and stuff like that. So, and she's tall, and her skin is perfect.
Yeah.
And I like mean bitches. Yeah, so, me you know too. What I mean? Like, she got that cute, mean face. Like, I'm mean as hell. Mm-hmm. So, it's just, I don't know. Like,
damn.
Like,
I was hoping you say Donna from Next Friday. That's probably one.
She was nice, too.
I love Donna.
You talking about the Joker's little sisters?
Nah, that's Next Friday's the one with the Christmas. Friday after next is the one with the Christmas.
Ah, okay.
You remember Cat Williams chick.
Yeah, okay, I get you.
Oh, okay, yeah.
She was beautiful.
I haven't.
I was hoping you would say her.
Yeah, I ain't never seen her nowhere.
Yeah, that's why I said anybody that's even almost close, because those are the ones that I find the most attractive women that's almost.
But what's wild is, though, is like, you'd be amazed at how many beautiful women you'll see that just be regular, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That be shocking me more often is when I go somewhere and I see somebody like, damn.
Yeah. I was the same way when I met Cassidy, though. I'm like, ah, man, he's just a little bitty nigga.
Freestyle, Cassidy?
Man, I was I was in Newburgh Boys and Girls Club, sixth grade. And I swear to you, I was sitting on the bleachers because I kind of hated living in Newburgh. I hated everything about it because it just wasn't downtown. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I felt like I was living out of town. But this tour bus pull up, I go to the gym. They was like, they got this dude coming. He's a rapper. He's coming to sign autographs and all that. I'm sitting on the bleachers, and he comes in, and he's shooting by a little bitty short nigga in a mink.
And
a dude was like, man, you want to help me do something? I'm like, yeah. He's like, help me get these boxes off. I'll make sure you get, you know, get the meat Cassidy and stuff. So I helped him. That's the first time not the first time. It's like distinctive. I like, oh, it's weed. When I got on the tour bus, I was like, I've smelt that before. You know what I'm saying? A distinctive smell. And it was Madden on the TV. On the tour bus then in the sixth grade. I was like, man, who's playing? He's like, man, Cassidy and somebody else. I'm like, man, that's what's up, man. Who is this Cassidy nigga though in my head the whole time?
Yeah.
So we goes and sit down. He's already set up like this to start signing. He's like, man, this is my little man right here. He helped me bring these boxes in. He was like, cool, man, sit right here.
Yeah.
Like, cool.
Uh-huh.
He was like, man, you know, I'm like, I'm looking at the CDs and was like featuring R. Kelly. I'm like, this is the hotel, nigga. Girl, you wanna come to my man, he's signing autographs for the whole, he put his chain on me, the full surface chain.
Yeah.
But the whole time I'm like, when he left and I went, you know, got on YouTube, you know, the little stuff I could get on the internet, I'm like, damn, like, he's a little bitty ass nigga. Man. This nigga's just a regular nigga. Like, super cool, like, to this day, dog.
Uh-huh.
And I had a big poster, like, and he was like, to my little man, stay in school. Like, I always wonder if he remembered that shit.
I think, but you know what I'm saying? He probably did. Because I mean, it'd be moments like that, though, that you real life remember. You know what I mean? Like,
that made me love hip-hop and shit like that. Like, man, I really, like, met.
But see, that's crazy that, like, now with streaming and shit like that, streaming really took away the in-stores. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, where you used to be able to really go meet somebody now.
Facts.
You know, Instagram really took that away.
Mm-hmm. Unless you get to go to a show and get a meet and greet, but
you know, pay that $90 to go backstage. But.
Yeah, I'm 32, so I remember going and like buying 50 Cent, buying Nelly.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I remember when when the mask dropped. I remember this white lady buying this in Texarkana, Texas. I was in the CD store because I used to just go to CD stores back then.
Yeah,
and this white lady bought her son the massacre, and I was sitting there like, I mean, she went in there, she bought the massacre and gave it to him after she bought it. I saw it with my own two eyes.
Yeah.
And I was like, they do buy CDs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
They was the most consumers.
But,
I mean,
but
too.
I'm saying though, you know what I'm saying? We live in our own fucking bubble sometimes, you know what I mean? Like, and then where I'm from, it's only black people and white people. It's no Mexicans, no Asians, no nothing. So, you know what I mean? It's a real separation, if you will, you know what I mean? Like, to where we, you know what I'm saying? on Sundays, we go to church, we go eat, and they, you know what I'm saying, we don't get out till 1, mm-hmm. and you know what I'm saying, and then they go to church, they get out at 12, you know what I'm saying, right. You know what I mean? Like, you know, when we go to Golden Corral, you know, they leaving and we coming in, you know, type shit. So, you know, it's...
Damn.
It was a convention. I ain't gonna say a church convention. It was a Kingdom Hall convention, and we was going to Golden Corral, and the white folks was leaving, and we was in Evansville, Indiana. That ain't nothing. And a little white boy, look, mommy, there go some black people. I'm like,
oh man,
yeah, I'm like, oh wow, he ain't, you know what I mean?
He meant that too.
Yeah, he did. He probably ain't never seen no black folks.
Well, it wasn't that. I don't think that, especially back then, like it wasn't that he hadn't seen any. It was the things he was hearing.
Yeah.
You know, when you hear, like, they probably, and you understand, white people teach their kids early, like, teach. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like,
whether it's racism or not.
If you see a black person, make sure that you do this. They got, you know, all of these different rules and shit. You know what I mean? For us, it'd be totally different. You know, we let our kids be kids until, you know, they experience that first gab of racism, and then, you know, then it's all kind of, you know what I'm saying? Then you can break down all the rules to them. But before then, you know what I'm saying, you don't really give them.
Kind of just freelancing.
Yeah. You just kind of wait on it.
Yeah.
You say little small things, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, and they'll catch on, but.
This is the Big and Lazy Podcast. I'm Big. I'm B-Fines. And we're excited to announce our collaboration with Flir. Together, we are offering a brand new course specifically designed for musicians and artists just like you. This course is packed with viable insight, practical tips to help you grow and succeed in your creative endeavors. And I'm not going to lie to you, if you use our link to purchase this program, we get a little kickback. So I need you to go check, and the link's going to be in the description, in the comments. Go check that out. Flir. Big and Lazy together, putting Louisville on the map. So, what was the first, when you first hit the scene, like, what was the first time you, like, you realized, I ain't gonna say made it, but, like, what, that you were surprised, like, what celebrity or artist knew who you was, like, damn, I didn't, now, you know, just for example, oh, geez, you know, I know who you are, you know what I mean?
KC from Naughty by Nature.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the DJ. I was... You know, telling him who I was, like, man, I'm a huge fucking fan. I used to rap Hip Hop Array word for word.
Me too.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm. They said that and Borny was the first two songs I knew was Hip Hop Array and Borny.
Yeah. I used to love it. And OPP. OPP was like one of my favorite fucking songs. But I love their videos. Their videos used to be so fucking dope. Mm-hmm. Like the Naughty by Nature videos used to look just dope. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like they had their whole hood on Smash. The whole hood was fucking with them. Everybody was out there. You know what I mean? Like it was, I think, you know, a lot of times in people talk about like around 13 when Chief Keef was doing they started doing the videos where they were just in the basement, his grandma's basement, shit like that. But shit, a lot of Naughty by Nature shit, like they early shit was just like that. Real just about
I didn't know it was they hood, but
yeah, they were Newark. Man. Shooting them hoes. You know what I mean? Like that shit is
the bus stop scene. What song was that? He's on the bus stop with the shorties.
Yeah. All that shit. They in Jersey with that shit, man. Damn. That shit is but that's what I'm saying, you know, like a lot of times people think that, you know, now people be like, just get a camera. We just shoot the video in here. Shit, they was doing that shit then.
Yeah.
I think they don't get enough recognition, man, because that was like my first sound.
Hip-hop. Naughty by Nature definitely doesn't get like the group love that most people give.
Because growing up, it was like the, you know, everybody has those tracks of their life. You know, those is one
Hip Hop Array and OPP.
Come on, man. That's the original.
Nigga, those were some of the records that, you know, inspired me to rap. Like, especially Tretch, because you could never get with his flow. Line up, man, with a whole time thing.
He made it to where you couldn't gimmick it. You couldn't.
I just wanted to learn those fucking words so bad. You know what I mean? Just like, man, what is he saying? You know what I mean? So I had to sit in front of the TV to try to figure it out.
Right.
And you know, you just indirectly learn about schemes and bars and this shit. I remember the first time I learned about 16 bars. That shit that blew my mind.
So what's the difference between, like, you if you could imagine how the youth consumes the music right now from how we did to then, because it's like you wouldn't even hear a record till you heard it on, you know, MTV, BET, yeah, you know, on the TV.
Well, I think it's a good thing that they can get so much music at one time.
Yeah.
But also at the same time, I think that what has happened is rapping has become the new basketball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? For the black community. You know what I mean? You know, and it ain't slang and crack rock or have a wicked jump shot no more. It's do you got bars or do you got a jumper? You know what I'm saying? It ain't, you know what I'm saying? You got bars, you got a jumper. What you got? Mm-hmm. Like I got a friend and she hit me like, I need some beats for my son. You know what I'm saying? I want to try to put him in that little Bow Wow lane. And I'm sitting there thinking about, you know what I mean? I'm sitting there thinking about to myself, like you know, and my mom's not like one of the most supportive people in the world anyway, right, but shit, my mom would have never did that. Like, right, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, right, shit, I could get my mama to help me after I lost my deal. Shit.
No, no lie. Right before we start shooting, a mother, you know, we sometimes we play song with a day, and she was trying to get her son, yep, song. Like,
yep. Yeah, that's what, but see, that's what crazy. I'm saying. Like nowadays, you have more supportive mothers, but it's more the same type of support they do with the traveling sports. You
facts,
know what I mean?
Facts,
like,
facts.
Yeah, like, yep, you know what I'm saying? If you're going to rap, well, cool. I'll get you some studio time. I'll try to get you some beats, but you got to take it serious. You know what I mean? Because it's a possibility that you could be successful.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, yep, it's not like how you... Good, no. You from Atlanta, Texas. You're not going to make it. You know what I'm saying? It was,
that
you know,
small thing.
You know what I mean? Like, they... For the most part, my whole life, everybody told me, for the most part, that you're not going to make it.
Yeah.
Damn.
I mean, my grandfather...
Be realistic. You know what I'm saying?
It was always my grandfather's soul, but he told me, he was like, man, how many niggas you know from Louisville that made it? Especially then.
Right.
I'm like, shit, I could be the first. He's like, man, get out of here, man. Go throw the football.
I remember one time, it was a summer, and I didn't want to... And I had just made Homegirl, and it was starting to pick up a buzz. But I was broke, you know what I'm saying? I'm a college student, whatever, yeah, it's summertime. And my mom was like, you need to get a job. And I'm like, well, mom, why would I get a job? Is if they call me for a show, I'm not going.
Right. Right.
Like, I'm a miss work. I miss too many days, I'm going to get fired. What the fuck is the point of me going? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Just send me the $20. She just hung up in my face.
Damn.
So, yeah. Damn. Yeah. I'm going to ask you this. So
9 months later, I got a deal.
That's crazy. Ooh-wee. So what was your... inspiration, like walk us through you making the track for, you know,
Homegirl.
Oh man, Hurricane Rita had happened.
Mm-hmm.
But before Hurricane Rita happened, I got the idea.
Was it before Trina or after Trina?
That was after Katrina.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It was.
Where were you staying at, in Houston?
I was at Prairie View.
Prairie View, okay. Yeah.
I was at Prairie View. Rita had happened. And I think that was after Ike. No, because Rita happened, then Ike happened. So it was Rita happened, and then they let us all out of school. So I drove to Fort Worth. And got in the studio with my producer, and I was telling him about we was really just kicking it, you know what I mean? Because he had dropped out, so we was just kicking it. And I was like, "Hey man, I got this idea, you know what I'm saying? See if you can make a beat for me." And I got the instrumental for the Magnolia Shorty My Juvie because I heard DJ Mr. Rogers, he was DJing one time, and this was probably 2 years ago, up to the point that he had made it. But he was DJing and he had spin it back with the "Hope Better Not Fuck With My Juvie." Now everybody knows this song, you know what I'm saying? Texas, Louisiana, you know My Juvie. Everybody knows it. So you know
it's when a classic.
So everybody comes with "Hope Can't Not Fuck With My Juvie" because he hot and you know he did the whole, and then he did, when it got to the "He Got a Big Dick and No How That You," he ran it back. "He Got a Big Dick and No How That You," da, 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 he got a big. He did that like four times, and I was sitting there like, that'd be the hardest record in the fucking world.
Right. Yeah.
If somebody ever did that, that'd be the hardest record in the world.
Yeah.
That'd be so fucking dope.
I love how you attacked that motherfucker too. Like, and you then, attacked it from there to when you recorded it.
Yeah, yeah. And so I was like, damn, but I gotta get somebody to make the beat. And I always, like, I'm always one of these fantasy guys in my mind, at least. Like, cause I had to be, again, cause I'm from Atlanta, Texas. So I would always, when I get the opportunity or when I get on, I'm going to do this. Or when I get, you know, one of those type of people. But I'm saying this in my mind. You know what I'm saying? Just imagine when I get this opportunity, I'm going to do it. And I had finally got the opportunity to get, you know, something that I had in my mind, just been in my mind for so. And I finally got it. And when he finished the beat, I was like, this beat is so fucking perfect. You know what I'm saying? It's just perfect. So I wrote, and then it took me probably like 3 hours to write the whole song.
Yeah.
Just because it was just one of those days. We was just bullshitting. And then we finally went over to my old manager's house, recorded in the closet, because he wouldn't let us record in his, which was still in the closet, but you know what I'm saying? He wouldn't let us record in his little A studio at the time or whatever. It was just me and him recorded in the closet. And it was just like, damn. After we listened to it, we was like, I don't know, this might be the one.
Yeah.
This might be it.
Yeah.
This might be it. And then his bitch ass gonna be like, I don't think you came hard enough.
What?
That's what he said. I should have fired him then. I should have known. I don't know. You know, so many regrets. But that's one of the biggest things for new artists is make sure you got really, really good management. You know what Definitely. I'm saying? And make sure that your management is actively working for you. Like, right. I had probably the dumbest fucking manager in the world. Like,
damn. Yeah.
He probably not that dumb now because he made every fucking mistake that you could possibly make with me.
Yeah.
But that was at that time, the dumbest nigga ever.
Like, what do you mean? Like,
bro, okay. So after we pull everything off, got the deal, I was in a group. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? It was like six of us. So he decides that the group is going to record an album without me.
Don't make no sense.
Yeah.
That's like, when we went state in 03, 04, I listened to Beg for Mercy every day. Mm-hmm. You know what? Every game, every headed to the game, I would listen to Beg for Mercy. You know what I'm saying? That was my shit.
Beg for Mercy was deep.
Can you imagine Beg for Mercy without fucking 50 Cent on it?
Come on, man.
That's the stupidest shit in the world. Not to compare,
he got all the hood.
I'm just saying, not to compare myself to 50 at the time, but I was the nigga that was on. Or the same Lunatics album without Nelly on it.
Yeah.
So what was his reason behind it? Like,
he's a fucking idiot. That's the reason. The reason is I'm stupid.
Yeah.
That's the reason. Yeah. His thinking though is that he was trying to get the deal for everybody else, so he wanted to showcase them without showcasing me. And you know what I mean? So I didn't. Nobody was just looking for another record with Bone on it.
Right.
Stupid. Stupid fucking idiot. This is the dumbest nigga in the world. He let me.
Damn.
Also, which I found out from my homie Sounds. Shout out to Milwaukee and Sounds. And this is probably a year after I didn't sign the deal. He told me what I could have done. Because I signed that same day. I ain't read the contract. Nothing to have no lawyer. No shit like that.
Right.
It's on.
What I could have done was I could have signed a letter of intent saying that I'm not going to go with any other label. I'm not going to sign, you know what I'm saying, any other deal. I'm just going to take this contract, give it to my lawyer, but I'm committing to the situation.
Right.
I just want to make sure that the details are right. I have every right to do that. You know what I'm saying? And I wouldn't have lost the deal, wouldn't have, none of that. Every right to do that. He didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Idiot. He's sitting there looking at me smiling, happy, you know what I'm saying? Happy I signed it.
Damn.
Then, you know, he took all my partners off the road with me. All, you know what I'm saying? So now it's just me, him, and his wife on the road.
Man, you need the roadies.
You know what I mean? And then he had like a, and this isn't a bad thing, but it was a bad thing the way he did it. He had me like doing routines.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? On stage, which is, you know what I'm saying? Which is cool because you need to, you know what I mean? I watched The Temptations and everybody, you know, they got
that. That's immediately what
thought
about.
You know what I mean? You know, I'm fucking with all of that. This is hip hop. It's more so about the rapper and the DJ.
Yeah.
That's, you know what I'm saying? Can you control the crowd? So what I needed to be learning was to be able to control the crowd better.
Yeah.
Not trying to find steps and do little, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? A little bullshit.
That's what he said on Temptations too. He's like, man, I'm a singer, man.
Yeah. I mean, but you know, but for them, it's different.
Yeah,
because now,
definitely.
When I come out and when I see New Edition, I expect.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I want all that with New Edition. You
and
know what I mean?
No background dancing.
You know what I mean? But for a rapper, I don't have high expectations. Like, for a male rapper anyway. Like,
right.
Now, female rappers, I think their female rappers should fully have routines, dances.
Especially if you twerking.
Well, I mean, not just even like I think what Tiana Taylor's been doing.
Yeah.
As far as with the artist, the creative director and really controlling their shows and this.
Right.
I think that all female rappers should need that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because they're more so on the same level as an R&B star.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? So
I
female
agree.
Rappers need the same thing R&B stars need. But male rappers, I think male rappers need to focus more so on not being nervous and truly connecting with the crowd.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You have to connect with the crowd. Like, you can't just be on stage rapping. You have to connect. You know what I'm saying? Even if you got to, you know, if you got to talk to somebody, if you got to give a dollar to the girl that got a birthday, you know what I'm saying? If you got to, you know what I'm saying? Whatever. You know what I mean? Like, back in the day, they used to do the call and response. It's like, all the ladies in the house with you. That shit type. Any, you know what I mean? You have to learn how to real life be, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like, and that was more so what I think I needed, opposed to somebody just trying to, like, shit, you know, watch the Temptations and be like, shit, we need to.
So is he still managing to this day?
You know, he got a platinum record, and I don't even have one. They cheated to get it, though. They didn't do it the right way. They cheated to get it.
What do you mean by cheated?
It was this artist City had signed. And he had already went viral with the song. The song was already viral, but the beat was like a YouTube beat or something.
Right.
So one of my old manager's producers, he just remade the beat.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, song went platinum or whatever. But it was, it was already...
Yeah, buzz.
It wasn't, it wasn't like they did it from the ground up or nothing like that. It was, you know... It was cheap.
Yep. So, like, what's the biggest stage? Like, what's the...
Like, 50,000, San Antonio.
Really?
AT&T Stadium.
Dallas Cowboys?
No. In San Antonio.
Oh, okay, San Antonio, okay.
There's a bunch of AT&Ts in Texas.
Was you nervous?
Yeah.
Huh? No, not that point. At that point in time, I wasn't nervous. It was just... That was my first time for over, like, 10,000 people. So, you know what I mean? Like, it was just crazy being on stage and watching...
But you the headline, or...
Nah, I wasn't a headliner. I was just another. It was one of them radio show festivals.
Yeah.
It was one of them. It was my first time.
It's major, though, man.
Definitely. Yeah. It was my first. It wasn't my first radio show. Up until that point, it was more so the radio shows I was doing was at the club.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, the radio station, you know, you got to go out there and do an interview, perform for the radio station at the club, and then they put your record in rotation. So I had been doing a bunch of those. This was the first one where it was like, I was like, okay, so shit, where we going to be at? You know, I'm asking questions. They were like, AT&T Center. I'm like, where the Spurs play? They was like, yeah. I was like,
yeah.
I was like, is that big?
Yeah.
It was like, oh, yeah, no. This is like, it's going to be. I was like, well, damn.
Man, that's amazing.
I was like, oh, okay. Well, shit. And then you get out there and you look and you was like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Real life 50,000.
So, how's the feeling being on stage and people just singing your song? You know what I'm saying? Because
that's
as
the greatest
artist,
feeling.
I think,
that's up there with the first time that you have sex the right way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Really?
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like the right way. Like you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like you know what you're doing. You're not nervous. You're confident. And you like, yeah, I'm about to.
Yeah.
I did that.
That's the equivalent.
Damn, that's amazing.
That's the equivalent.
That's amazing, bro.
That's the equivalent because it's like. That is the only thing. That's the only high that you can get again.
Yeah.
And it feels just like the first time. That's probably the only high that I know of. That after the first time, and the 19th time, and for me the fucking whatever time it is now, it still feels the same. To where when it dropped and you see everybody, oh man, nine, five. And they just start twerking and shit. Like, it still feels the same. It just be like, it makes me feel like, well, yeah, I made the right decision.
Yeah.
Even no matter what happened that day, how bad shit fucked up, hotel room, promoter bullshit, and, you know, no matter whatever, all the bullshit you might have dealt with that day, at that moment, for that 3 minutes, everything's perfect. The world is perfect.
Yeah.
And everything worked out. And you just wish that you could make, you know, like when Nicki had made that song, that Moment for Life song,
yeah.
I really felt like that because, you know, you really want just this moment forever. If I could just feel like this and I could just have this love and just this right here, just till I die, this is what I want. Now, of course, it's unrealistic, but
yeah.
I felt that, like, I used to listen to Moment of Light a lot just because I used to try to just remember just, damn, I remember when I was here. Just,
yeah.
So, do you got any wild groupie stories, like any road stories?
My favorite thing to tell is one time I was in Wichita and I performed, and first time performing with Lil Flip, which was crazy. He headlined, you know, I opened, you know what I'm saying? Man. I ain't gonna say I opened for him, but I opened for him.
Yeah.
But it was something like that.
Yeah.
I still got paid. But
that's all that mattered.
Yeah, nah. This this girl, she said she just got out the feds.
Mm.
And so I was like, okay, bet. She came back, you know, came back to the room. We did our thing or whatever. And then, you know, she was, you know, I had nutted. And I think we had fucked probably about like an hour. You know what I'm saying? And then I nutted. I was cool. And then she was like, shit. You know, I was like, man, you gonna have to give me, you know, my thing is, in, you have to give me 18 minutes, man. You gonna give me 18 minutes for another round, man. I'm at the, you know, I got to rest or something. When I tell you, that was the first time I ever got my kneecap sucked. Like, you know, well, like while I was waiting to, you know, the 18 minutes, she just kissing on my whole body and she sucked my kneecaps. And I was like, she sucking my kneecaps.
Kneecaps.
Kneecaps. She sucked my kneecaps. I was like,
I hope you know my co-host ready to take that. Hey.
Suck
on my kneecap, baby.
Hey, I'm just saying it's a weird sexual experience. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? It's just weird.
Let me text wifey real quick and ask them.
It's just weird. You know what I'm saying? And you gotta think, this is after I didn't, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I didn't nut in there. I'm just laying there. I'm just trying to relax. And then she's kissing all on me. And then she just sucks my kneecaps. And I was like,
both?
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
both of them.
Did you? Was it something? You know,
I enjoyed the experience. Yeah. I don't think I would request it.
Okay,
I thought I was about to say.
I've never requested it again. like yeah, I need my suck my kneecap. You know what I'm saying? I've never requested it again, but I enjoyed the experience just to be able to tell this story like right now. But that was probably like my.
Listen up, ladies, if you want to get your man back.
Hey, man, usually everything is pretty just, you know, cut and dry, kind of normal.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Usually I'm the one that's
doing something different.
Doing the extra shit, you know what I mean?
Back of the knees.
Type shit, you know what I mean?
So you ever been on two of them?
Pretty quiet.
Damn.
not like how traditionally, like they say, but honestly, man, honestly, I really haven't like stopped doing shows. You know what I mean? Like for me, I don't really get a break. Like I might get like a week off.
Really?
You know what I'm saying? In 52 weeks, I might probably work 48 weeks.
And I'm gonna keep it real though, because you know I cut Rob's hair. Shout out Rob Corleone. Rob Run Corleone, that's my nigga. I've been cutting his hair. I remember he brought you, but that's how I kept like in touch with you, like with the Instagram and the, you know, stuff like that. Man, you always doing work, bro.
Yeah, I got a show. I post more flyers than pictures, which is weird. Yeah. Like, I remember this one girl told me, shit, I thought you was, like, fake or a promoter or something. Nigga, all you post is flyers. I'd be like, but my face is on the flyer.
How many years since you've done Homegirl to now? How many years is that?
13.
13 years and you still can be booked, bro? That shit is amazing.
Longevity,
bro.
Man.
You know
is
what I'm
that
saying?
What that is? I mean, like in Texas,
I wish I had one.
In Texas, I call myself a legend. I don't really call myself a legend anywhere else. You know what I'm saying? In Texas, here, you know, of course, because you know I'm from there, and I like to be arrogant to the little niggas. But you know what I mean? Everywhere else, I'm just grateful niggas still fuck with the record.
Right, right, right. That's amazing though, bro. To even just still be able to do what you love, man.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing. That's the biggest thing for me is that I love it. You know what I mean? Like, it's not something that I got lucky doing or something I just went in the studio with my homie. You know what I mean? Like, I dreamed about this when I was 9, when I was 10. You know what I mean?
Manifestation, yes.
You know what I mean? Like, I real, like, you know, I dreamed about it. I used to rap in church. You know what I mean? Like, I was rapping all them Kurt Flanker songs. So, you know what I mean? Like, so
who's your favorite gospel artist?
Lecree.
Lecree?
Yeah, I fuck with Lecree.
That Fred Hammond brings me to tears. Never would have made it. That motherfucker get on the radio.
I mean,
they done remixed it now. Yeah, I'm looking for twerking when I hear
it. I like the bounce version. Never would have made it. You know what I mean? Yeah, the bounce version is way better.
I'm looking for twerking.
So, like, what's the biggest check or the biggest pay, like the biggest, I guess, lump sum of cash? Like, what's the biggest?
Like, from what?
For music-wise, you know.
I'm probably like 30.
30 bands?
Yeah.
Like, what'd you do? Did you go straight to the mall or did you...
Counted it a bunch of times.
Yeah, it's just cash, 30K.
Yeah,
counted it a bunch of times, man. You find yourself enjoying counting the money because you have to spend it. You know what I mean? Like, unfortunately, you don't. It's not like how it is when you're a kid. You get to keep the money as long as you can. Yeah. When you make spend that, you got to spend money. It. Right? I got to pay producers. I got to pay this. I got to pay for PR.
And everybody
I
expect
this,
for you
I
to pay.
Got to pay for these niggas. I got to buy clothes. I got, you know, I had, you know what I'm saying? I had a house at the time. I had to pay the mortgage, you know, all that shit. Yeah.
And then once you get that point, people don't even know that.
Yeah,
like,
different tax bracket.
You're still paying for everything, and it's like, shit, I still have to make money.
It was more so because you just, you know what I mean? Like, you just have to pay for everything. And you just
get they think you have more than what you got.
You just get into a habit of paying for shit. You know what I'm saying? And when you get, so, you know, the enjoyment comes from counting the money. So you can say, I got this money.
Yeah.
I got this money. But that's why you see a lot of people, you know what I'm saying, posting the money or spreading it out. And
Sexy Red ain't put that shit down.
And doing all that shit. But because, you know what I mean, you got to spend this and it's going to be gone. Yeah. So this is the only true moment I get to really enjoy this money. Because you know what I'm saying? Like, once you get the money, nobody enjoys spending it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I only know a few niggas that enjoy spending money. Like a few. And I'm probably one. So, you know what I mean? But a lot of niggas I know that get money do not like to spend money. They be trying to find every excuse
not to.
To get out of spending money. Like, bro, like, it's okay to be broke a day. Yeah. You make some more money tomorrow. Spend it.
Especially if you got it coming. You know what I'm saying? I think with most of it all is like, man, you getting paid for doing something you like to do. So it's like, you get in this mold. Like I said, Sexy Red ain't put her shit down. It's like, shit. And she probably never had that much money in her life. So it's like,
now
give people grace.
Now, you know what I'm saying? Now she up. So shit, you know.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of artists might go through what May said. Remember, Mace just said that before him and Cam rekindled, he said that, you know, him and that was one of the relationships he wished he would have cherished and held on to before they rekindled. Because he said, Cam thought that he just wasn't sharing when he got rich, but he really didn't have it like everybody thought.
Yeah.
It has to be a fucking insane feeling to like, damn, I can't even like, I can tell y'all, but it's hard to tell y'all I don't have no money and I'm with Diddy. And
I mean, what the thing is that, and I went through that too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like my uncle had came to me and was like, Bone, give me $5,000 to buy my life back. And
Buy his life back.
Yeah, buy his life back.
From who?
I don't ask questions. You know what I mean? But I think at the time I probably had like $4,000 on me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? In my pocket. But it all had to go somewhere.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like the money all had to go somewhere. So I can't give you $5,000 because at that time, you know, PR costs. You know what I'm saying? $1,000 a week or $1,000 a month or $1,500 a month or whatever the fuck they charge it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like $2,000 a month for this, $3,000 a month for this, $1,000 a month for this, $500. You try to talk a nigga in the trickle, can you do $500? Can you do $500?
Trickle.
So you know what I mean? You end up you had that little money, like, you know what I'm saying? You like I go do a show and at that time I was probably charging like $500. So I have 20, you know, the back end, I had 2,500 on me.
Right.
But shit, what you want me to do with this? You know what I mean?
Man.
Like, this shit got to last me till Friday. Like, what do you know what I mean? Like, and then I got to pay somebody, I owe somebody $1,000, so I'm already down to 1,500. And then I got to buy groceries. And then, you know what I'm saying, let a bill be going on. And then this shit, I'm looking up and I got $200. Shit, I got to, you know, get
and
to
I
the airport.
Gave you five.
I got to get to the airport and shit, and go do another show. And shit, by the time I get there, I got $100.
Damn, right. So whatever you get from that show is like right back in the... That's amazing, though. It's still amazing for me to hear a real, like, nigga, like, really go through that shit and say it ain't all sweet, you know?
I mean, the point and the purpose of everything is being able to give your music to the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that's the part you get to enjoy. You know what I'm saying? You get to enjoy getting the love, fucking hoes. You know what I'm saying? Like you enjoy that. But then when it comes to the business part, and being a, you know what I'm saying? Because the thing is, you don't get to be a kid anymore.
Right.
You don't get that innocence is immediately stripped away once you become a boss. Even if you're a small boss, you immediately become a boss. So at that point, you have to realize that it's nothing but responsibilities anymore. This is nothing until you get, you know what I'm saying, to a point to where you can do this comfortably, it's nothing but responsibility. So nothing is fun anymore because the money you make has a responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that you do is a purpose. You know what I mean? Ain't no more like I can think probably one time during that period, like what was it? It was this artist, because I used to be, Tricky Stewart used to be my A&R. So I used to be with, I used to be with them, him, and Dream all the time. And they had this artist.
Dream, the singer?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, amazing. Dream on the remix of Homegirl.
What?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Love
yeah.
Dream. It's Dream. One of my. He's like one of my top.
Dream
five.
Is probably one of the coolest niggas ever. Like best human beings. Him and Tricky. They're like, I. You know what I mean? I do a homicide for them. I really, really, really have a lot of respect and love for those guys. They really showed me a lot of love, and didn't have to. You know what
right.
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I got a lot of respect for them. But shit, Dream just. Damn, I forgot what I was talking about.
My fault. You said that you was with them. You was doing something.
You said you would die for them. You were jerk
by. Yeah. I can't remember what we were saying. But anyway, I know I was with them doing something. Yeah. I can't remember what I was talking about. But just being around them and the influence that you get just seeing how they are. Because you know what I mean? Like, Tricky's the type of person, like, he fall asleep and leave his car running.
Damn.
Yeah.
And at the time, he was driving a 600.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I was leaving the studio, and I came outside, and his car was on. I'm like, what the fuck is Tricky car on? So I go back in the studio, and he's asleep. And I'm trying to wake him up. I'm like, Trick. And he, like, Tricky be up 3-4 days. So when he sleep, he gone. And Jason, one of his runners was like, oh, no, he good. Just leave him like that. That's what he does.
Damn.
And I was like,
that ain't safe.
He just leaves his car running?
Uh-huh.
Nah, you can't get in the gate to take it.
Yeah. Right.
Nah, where the studio was like, you couldn't get in the gate to take it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. It was safe. Wasn't nobody going to touch it.
There's a little extra pollution.
You know, other than me.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Other me being like, well, shit, let me take this motherfucker while you don't want it right now. Hell, shit, you sleep. Call me when you wake up, then, right. Goddamn. And he let me drive it a couple times, you know what I'm saying? It was my first time driving a 600.
And I got that same feeling when I was watching Bruh's interview. I think it was Drink Champs. And he was like, well, I don't forget what platform it was, but he was like, man, y'all don't understand, like, when I was just writing them songs, like some of that early shit, he was like, I was in real people traffic, real time, going through it with Nivea and...
Oh, yeah.
It was about Wayne's baby mama, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was
his baby mama, too.
Yeah, his whole first album was about Nivea and what he went through with Nivea, man.
So, I'm going to ask you this. You ever caught beef with another artist?
Nah, but...
A female?
Nah, fuck no. Never.
Today's time.
Never.
Yeah.
I would never.
Especially in that industry. It's so many. It's so much come and go.
I'd never be over. No. Fuck no.
Yeah.
Whatever. Now, a nigga might not like me behind it. I know it's a particular rapper. I tell y'all about it when we not on here. But he won't give me a feature because one of my exes.
Like, oh, wow.
Like, nigga tried to charge me $300. Once I tell y'all who it is, y'all gonna be like, no fucking way.
Yeah.
Nigga told me, yeah, shoot me $300. Like, nigga, how you gonna try to charge me?
Yeah.
Nigga, we the same nigga. What the fuck are you?
Damn.
Nigga tried to charge me $300. Once I tell y'all who it is, it's gonna be crazy. But yeah, I had ended up getting into a relationship with one of the girls that he was trying to fuck with. And I didn't even know, you know what I mean?
Right. I'm shooting.
She fucking with me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Type shit. So shit, I don't know. But shit, you know, was what it was. You know what I mean? But shit, the niggas still, you know, to this day, I could send him a DM right now on IG, be like, hey bro, you know what I'm saying? I got a show for you, you know, you know what I'm saying? You just but can I get a, you know what I'm saying, an 8-12 from you?
I'm thinking of the Joker.
Nigga, leave me on scene.
Damn, it's like that.
I hate that.
Nigga, leave me on scene.
Over a female.
And it's wild because I mean, of course, I work way more than he does, but you know what I mean? It was just we had like a DJ partner that was a mutual homie. Mm-hmm. So I was, you know what I'm saying? And I was just trying to, you know. But again, we had kind of went through the same similar situation because he was signed to Jive.
Right.
So, you know. I'm like, you know what it is, but shit, nah, that nigga won't give me no feature behind that. I don't do that behind no females or no shit like that.
You, ever, was you hitting them college shows a bunch? Like, would you book on a lot of college shows?
I did a few college shows, but I came from college. So I wasn't really interested in doing college shows. The biggest college show that I did was at my college. And I did, for me personally, it was the, I did the Black College Tour, the BET Black College Tour.
Yeah.
And that was a personal thing for me. I asked the label to put me on that. Like, yeah. Like, I took a trip to New York one day and, I was supposed to be in school. Took a trip to New York one day and went up there. I was like, hey, man, the Black College Tour is about to come to Prairie View. Can y'all set that up to where I can get down there? And it was like, yeah, that's easy. That's right. You know, they said that. I'm just like, nigga, that is not easy. It's not nothing because I've been watching it for 3 years and they kept telling me they don't let no local artists get on here. Don't let nobody perform.
Yeah.
But, you know.
So out of all the cities you've been to, like who, this is kind of random, who you say got the best food? Like who would you say?
Best food is in Houston.
Houston?
The best food
is, stop hearing that,
the
bro.
Best food is in Houston. Uh-huh. But the best, okay, I got a homie in San Antonio. His name Wayne. He makes the best wings in the world.
Really?
Damn.
It's
tough, but man.
No, I'm not exaggerating. I know people think I exaggerate a lot. I'm not exaggerating. He literally customizes these wings to fit however you like. If you got an idea, he does it for me. Yeah. But he has like
that celebrity treatment.
He definitely has like 75 different flavors of wings.
Really?
Yeah. He got a
what's the spot? You had a spot at?
It's called Wayne's Wings. It's in San Antonio. He just actually opened up his second location, which is crazy Wayne's because wings, when I met him, he was in a food truck.
Okay.
Serving wings outside the club.
Really came up.
Serving wings outside the club. And I was like, damn, this shit is good. I ate some one time. I was like, bro, I don't know what the fuck you doing, but these wings are actually good. And then he only had three flavors. He only had lemon pepper, mild, and hot. You know what I'm saying? That's all he had. And I had told him then, I was like, bro, is there any way you can combine this lemon, this honey, with some honey, and this hot? And he was like, you know, bro, I never tried it. He from Philly.
I never tried it. He's from Philly?
And shit, he tried it. And then from that point, he just always been innovating. And then when he got his store, shit, I used to go to his store. I used to drive to San Antonio just to go to his store. You know what I'm saying? Just to...
How far was you from Tennessee? How long was the drive?
It's like 4 hours. Yeah. I got to
be good.
That's some good wings right there.
I got a son there now, so it makes sense. But
Are you familiar with Stay Busy Apparel? He's out in Houston.
I don't know. Stay busy.
Bubble Dub, he be wearing this shit trash. That dude.
Oh no, I know Bubble Dub. My one of my DJ homies managed Bubble Dub. He just hit me up. Bubble Dub had a show in Houston this weekend.
But I'm gonna say that to say this. So if you can want to see any who you want to see on here, but you gotta help us get them on here. You gotta have a line like, hey man, you gotta. Yeah.
Oh no! Whoever y'all want, you know what I'm saying? Just hit me up. I can plug y'all in whenever they come to the city. That's never nothing. I know everybody.
I'm asking. Well, thank you for that. We appreciate that. But like, just who would you think would be a good fit? Who would you that you can, you know? Hey, come on in this spot. You know what I mean?
Oh man. Let me see. I don't know. I think my homie Mike Fresh. He'd be cool. He got the something. My main bitch will beat a bitch up.
Yeah.
Talk stupid, get stupid, get fuck. And he gonna throw that ass in a circle too with a little Ronnie.
I did.
I think he'd be cool. And then my homie Prince, you know, he got the movement going with his C4S click. And they got the bounce with me, bounce watch you out. My homie Prince. But you know, he was a member of the GS Boys with Stanky Leg.
Yeah. Is that the light skin one?
No, dark skin one.
Okay.
Light skin was Southside.
Yeah, they used to say I looked like Southside back in the day. But more of a personal question before we get out here, and this could help a lot of people out there because we big on mental health and stuff like that. Like when you said you was kind of went through that Kanye thing with your mom, like her wanting you to go to school, or did she supported you going to school more than rapping? How did y'all's relationship evolve into now, or have it? You know, what would you say to the youngin that's wants to go pursue his dream? But
my mama wasn't extremely supportive. I don't want to confuse her with Kanye's mom, because Kanye's mom was extremely supportive of Kanye.
Especially at the end of the day.
Yeah, like she was extremely supportive of Kanye. My mama wasn't that supportive, you know what I mean? So if anything, I could probably encourage parents to not just in hip hop or rap, but if your child has a passion for something, just, you know, just go with it. Don't try to put them in a spot. But I think at the time period, it was more second nature for adults to try to
stir.
Well,
you know, rap was fairly new then too. You know.
Well, mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't new. It was a decade old. It was just more so people wanted to black people at that time were pressing the issue of getting good jobs, yeah. Get a good job,
yeah.
Get married. You know,
but think about it. It wasn't that much money in rap then. You know,
I don't know. It was still money in rap. It was way more money in rap then than it is now.
Think so?
No, so. Because it was more exclusive. Yeah. So if you was getting that money, you was getting that money. Like, you got to really think. Back then, they used to do deals and, like, say you get a, say you sign an artist. They give you $100, $200 up front. And they, you know what I'm saying, and they give you, like, 4 album deals. Now, if your first album don't sell, that's cool. They'll still give you another advance on the second album. They just, you know, put you in the hole.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Nowadays, if they don't, you don't get an advance, mm-hmm. and if your shit don't work, they cutting you loose. Ain't no developing you until somebody that works. You know what I mean? Okay. Type situation.
I seen somebody say that about artists. They wish they could bring back artist development.
Well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Even artist development, like a lot of people complain and about Ice Spice. You know what I'm saying? Just about her stage presence and different things like that.
Yeah.
But nobody cares about her. You know what I mean? Like the people that's making the money, they don't care. Or if they would have got Tiana Taylor. Right. If you look at Lola Brooks, the person that she signed to, my nigga Young Sav. He was Sav Davis, Savvy Davis Jr. That's what his IG is, Savvy Davis Jr. Mm-hmm. But Young Sav was signed to he was a big guy at Def Jam. He had he wore like 19 hats. You know what I'm saying? He, you know, now he's bossed up, you know what I'm saying, got his own situation. He signed Lola. And the moment people started complaining about Lola stage present, he went and hired Tiana Taylor. Now, if you look at when Lola gets on the stage, it looks like she's been performing for 19, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Seductive and choreographed, right?
Fives. It looked like she's been performing her whole life. It don't look like... Yeah. It's like a whole little product. Even Summer, you see Summer's new shows. New shows look great now. You know what I mean? Like, and sometimes it takes that somebody that's really, really familiar with the music business, like Sav, that knows like these little nuances matter. Right. You know what I'm saying? Now, of course, they cost insane amounts of money. Of course, they take a lot of time. Mm-hmm. But when you put that product in front of people, people say that's a good product.
Right.
That's a million dollar product.
That's all that matters.
That's a $1 million product right there. Mm-hmm. When people look at Lola Brooks now, opposed to probably 8 months ago, they say, oh, she cool. Now they look at her like a real artist.
Right.
Like she's one of those. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the biggest thing is that if you could just really, really help niggas. Now, you know, but at this game now, it's microwave.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Ain't nobody cooking no more. It's all microwave. They need it right now. So, you know what I mean? Like, you don't get the opportunity to because you remember, you got to really think, back in the day, shit, by the time, they was new artists to us, but them niggas had been signed like 2-3 years.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean? Like, if you think of somebody like Cameron was signed, you know what I'm saying? Not only was he Mace's partner, and he got to hang around Mace, but he was signed to Un Rivera, who was Biggie's manager. You know what I'm saying? Who Biggie had a partnership with and had a label with.
Right.
So, and he was signed for like a year. He was writing, you know what I'm saying, for shit. And I never heard no Cameron records. And then till Horse and Carriage. Right. And when Horse and Carriage came out, I was like, who is this new nigga? Who's this nigga? Cam been around.
Then his stories relate to that. Like, he'd be like, man, before I even get that record out, I was up under so many artists and meeting people that it's amazing, though.
Yeah, nowadays, it's not, artists have to develop themselves.
Yeah.
And YouTube is the development. So
Facts.
So I heard TikTok's like the number one platform for artists. Like TikTok, then it's...
Well, it depends on what you mean as far as platform.
As far as like, I guess, I don't know, like streams. Like they said, you know, if you get viral on TikTok, then next comes the video, then radio, then it hit, you know, radio, then it, you know...
You know, I haven't completely done the research because I be in my little bubble a lot. Mm-hmm. But my thoughts on that is you know, TikTok is no different than like when Twitter first came and people were trying their best to go viral on Twitter and then on Facebook. Like, it's a song. Chasing Dragons by this white guy from LA named D.L. Downer.
Mm-hmm.
And it went viral on Facebook. And it's about him being addicted to, what was it? I think it's methamphetamine. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Whatever the fuck Chasing Dragons mean. I don't know. I'm, again, not in the culture, so I don't know what the drug culture name is. But his song went viral on fucking Facebook. You know what I'm saying? One of them, I'm tasting, one of them went viral on Facebook. And, you know, he's been able to have a similar career to mine. Now, of course, y'all probably don't know him. But y'all, if y'all hear the song, y'all probably didn't heard the song before. Like, oh, I'd heard this. Well, if y'all hang around drug addicts.
I've heard Magic of Dragon.
But like in the drug addict community,
yeah.
this song is back that ass up. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, like I promise you, if you know anybody that I'm not just saying, but I'm saying if you know anybody that like do hard drugs.
Yeah, he'd be out the Molly sometimes.
Nah, I'm talking about hard drugs. I'm talking about hard drugs. I'm talking about crack, heroin, you know, meth. Ice, you know what I'm saying? The Belushi, you know, all that shit mixed in together.
Yeah.
You know, I'm talking about that shit. Even if you got anybody that do heavy drugs and you play that song, they'll be like, oh, I love that song.
Yeah.
I promise you. Okay. If you get on YouTube right now and you can read his comments are ridiculous. I'm talking about the most ridiculous, like people, I've been sober 8 years.
And it's called Chasing the Dragon.
Bro, it's called... Bro, you pull up on your phone right now, Chasing Dragons. I'm telling you, it's what I like to call in hip-hop an anomaly because it makes no sense for this guy to have the career that he's had.
Right.
But in hip-hop, honesty sells.
Yeah, it does.
And he was being completely honest. I am a drug addict and I'm robbing people for my habit, and I don't want to because I know I'm a good person, but these drugs got a hold on me. And that's basically the whole song.
Damn.
Yeah.
Okay. That's his song.
That's his song.
Okay, I don't want to get flagged, but I'm going
to
listen to it.
Hey,
send it to me.
Yeah, Chasing Dragons. When I tell you, like, fuck that, read the comments. I don't know if you got to go to, like, the full video, but maybe on that one, but even on that one, how many comments that bitch got?
Let me see. Shit, come on. 53, no.
If you read the comments on that motherfucker, man.
I read the comments, shit. 620.
You see what that first one said? This still my favorite version of this song. Basic, raw, and real. This song hits so hard coming from him. Even in 2021. Why does this slap harder now than the studio version? This will always be my favorite. It sounded so much better the other way. This guy, his song is so perfect without even me. Bro, I don't have those comments on Homegirl. Like, all of those comments are people that
real fans, real people that fuck with it.
Nah, that's what I'm saying. I don't even got a. I haven't even went gold. I ain't never went gold. Nah,
You went gold in the hood though.
I mean, shit. I went platinum in the hood.
Yeah, you went diamond.
Yeah, you diamond in the hood.
Yeah, I went platinum. Hey, I went platinum in the hood.
I was just saying, like,
bro, like even because man, you got to think about it, for 13 years. Every time that a club opens up. And it plays hip hop music. My song gets spent.
Facts.
It does. On my
you know what I'm saying? No matter where, from no matter if we in Cali or if we in fucking Maine. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, it don't matter if we in fucking Seattle or if we in fucking Florida. Like if it's a hip hop club and they playing hip hop music, they gonna play. Especially now with Boogie's version, they gonna play some type of version of Homegirl.
And you for sure went diamond out that bitch, dog.
Yeah.
Every hood club.
I told the chick that we had a dude that song was coming. She thought Boogie was coming. I'm like, nah, we got the original. We got the OG.
Yeah. Nah, Boogie, my nigga, though.
So did you have to clear that sample?
What you mean? Did I have to clear it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, nigga, I had money on my head and everything in New
Damn,
Orleans. Nigga,
what?
Shit, for real. I had to... Yeah, That's nah, Shardy's a boss, though. Shardy was a boss. She wasn't no, like, little nigga like that. She really been on... Like going to clubs and performances, she was 16.
Hold on, so they had money on your head, huh?
Yeah. I had to go figure that shit out. Go take care of that. But I actually got a verse from Shorty on Homegirl.
No, I'm saying, okay.
What?
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah, she did a verse for me. I was trying to put it on the remix.
Big and
but
Lazy,
you know,
exclusive.
Hey, man.
Get us a Dean, bro.
And
Get us something.
Before we get out of here, bro, I just want to...
Yeah, gunshot. Man, you heard him. Exclusive.
Before we get out of here, though, bro.
But hold on, though.
Go ahead.
Back to this story. So how'd you find out, like man, these niggas have to kill me, y'all.
Somebody just told me, like, man, you need to handle that shit, man. They upset about that down there, man. You need to handle that shit.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, shit, I went down there and handled it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
hell yeah.
But I performed at Mardi Gras after the Saints won the Super Bowl.
There you go.
Downtown, Nagin had just came through. Nagin came through, and I performed probably like an hour later.
That's I appreciate the interview, man. This is a legend to this day.
And I'm a normal nigga.
And I know we ain't drink champs, but bro, I wish we had flowers to give you, bro, because it's an amazing to sit with a nigga that really done lived his dream.
Give him some Molly you got, nigga.
No, man.
Hey, listen, man.
That's Molly water in that cup.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, you keep that Molly, man. I think I popped half a Molly one time.
I popped half a tab one time, and I ain't never popped a pill.
I did a tab one time before I had a performance, and it made my heart beat too much, so I can't do that no more.
I dropped the mic and everything.
I ain't never dropped the mic. Like, I was too much.
That's what I said. I can't fuck with it. Liquor and weed is too much.
You ever had the shrooms? Try the shrooms?
Mm-hmm. Me either. Damn. No, I ain't tried shrooms yet. But I got a guy that, you know what I'm saying, if you need that.
But definitely, though, bro. The podcast is big and lazy.
That's what I was about to say.
Give us something good.
Yeah, I need a motherfucking bed in this bitch then. You know what I'm saying?
He got some shit coming.
I'm saying y'all need to get shooting pornos, so he got a couch. No, I'm saying y'all need to get three beds in this bitch, you know what I'm saying? And just let, you know, shit, let niggas lay down.
You know what I'm saying? Give us something big, something good to watch, and ladies, something good to eat. It could be anywhere in the world or any...
Something big to watch.
You always gave us some wings, but go ahead. Yep. Something
okay. What you mean big to watch?
Like something big,
is something to eat, and lazy is something to watch.
Oh man, I can't even think. Oh, nigga, Bass Reeves. It's a new series on Paramount Plus. It's about Bass Reeves. Mm-hmm. You know, and he was what they based the Lone Ranger off of.
Yeah.
And yeah, yeah. So you know what I mean, and it's just channeling how he became. Basically the fucking Lone Ranger. You know what I mean? Just he was going through in it. And we don't really think about it because, you know, time period is crazy. I got my bachelor's in history, if you ask, wondering why I'm going in depth with all this
shit.
But
hold on, though. You got your master's degree. Can we give him a round of applause or something?
Yeah, man. My man said he didn't see that real.
I got my master's. I got your master's in, man.
I got my bachelor's in history and I got my master's in sociology.
Okay.
Right, that's what's up, bro.
Yeah, it's amazing, bro.
So you were like a teacher or a counselor? Like, what did you
Fuck no, I rap.
Yeah,
but like, still. when you going to get those degrees? Like,
a rapper?
Yeah, okay. So you want to be a rapper? Right?
I was a rapper when I finished my history degree because, excuse me, I had already started, so I might as well finish. But I love history. History is like my favorite. That was one of the things that me and my granddaddy connected on.
Mm-hmm.
History
before,
will fuck you
yeah,
up.
Yeah, before he passed. So and then I had like the greatest. History professor ever, Dr. James Jones. He's from Mansfield, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
But and he was like, he got like 4 or 5 master's degrees, PhDs, you know what I'm saying, type shit. But he was he gave me so much great information. And he gave me so much good. We had the opportunity to do a hip hop class. Mm-hmm. And he gave me so much good information on the hip hop that I just didn't know. You know what I mean? Just different books that I could read. And he actually took me to, after I got my deal, he took me to my first hip hop concert. He took me to see Rakim, which is his favorite rapper.
There you go.
It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And then I got the, because, you know, I was in bone mode, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I go up to Rakim and I'm like, yo, Ra. I just got a deal with Def Jam, and my professor brought me out as a fucking gift. He brought me to come see you so I could learn how to do this shit the right way. And he was like, where your professor? Where your professor? I was like, he right here. When I tell you, like, my professor talks all kind of shit. You know what I'm saying? When I tell you, this is the most humble experience, when he was, peace God. You know what I'm saying? A whole nine. Like, he was, but I was glad that he did that for me, and I was glad I was able to do that for him. You know what I mean? Because he got the chance to finally meet his favorite rapper. You know what I mean? So it was a blessing.
So before we get out of here, one last question. How'd you get the name Bone? Like,
My nickname is Hambone.
Uh-huh.
Okay. My full nickname is Hambone. And when I had did,
Ain't that when they do the
hambone, where? Hambone, how you heard, all that shit. Yeah, but I didn't even learn about that till afterward. You know what I'm saying? White man gave me.
Gullah Island.
Yeah, my uncle used to do it.
Yeah, white man gave me this nickname. Ain't that crazy?
Damn.
Yeah, one of my old football coaches gave it to me when I was 12.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, damn. So I've been Hambone since I was 12.
So what you been up to lately, man? So, like, what is it? Where can they find you at? Like,
Everything Bone to Mac. Bone M Diggity is my personal on Facebook. I probably won't approve your friend request, but you can send it. Yeah. And Like I said, I got the record with Behan that I'm about to get ready to put out. I just put out an album, Tex Hayo, with a group of artists from Cincinnati. That I, you know what I mean? Just giving them an opportunity to try to branch out. You know what I mean? I, like I said, I know how hard it is. You know, most people can't even leave their city. So, right, you know what I mean? At least your music can, especially with me. So, and then I got another single that I'm getting ready to drop. It's called Money Drops. But I'm getting ready to drop in a few. I'm just trying to figure out what's the best time. I'm trying to let the album breathe for a little bit. And then I'm really trying to see what Behan going to do with this single. I really like the song a lot.
Yeah, it sounds cold, though.
And I've been trying to do a song with them probably for about, like, 2 years now. So it's good that I finally got all of those guys on the record. You know what I mean? Like I said, I love Louisville.
Right.
Before we love you too, bro.
I speak for the city, man.
We love you too, bro.
Because I'm telling you.
No. I'm Louisville, like Big Mama's Louisville. Like I'm really fucking around. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I heard they just made a new Big Mama's. Like,
yeah, soul food, something. Soul, oh shit.
If I wasn't
soul food choices.
Remixed it.
Oh, okay. I'm
about
to say
no soul food though. It's some.
Oh, it ain't Big Mama's. Nah, if it ain't Big Mama's, Big Mama's
they
used to have
nachos.
They used to let me come in the kitchen. When I say Big Mama had this big ass fucking pot. It was like, God, it was so big. It was like this big. And it was, I was like, damn, this is probably the first time I ever seen a pot this motherfucking big.
What was in there? Chilling?
No, I don't know what was in there that particular day, but shit, it was big as fuck.
Dog. Yeah. Chillin'? I ain't eating that slave food no more.
No, I don't eat chillin'. I hated chillin's my whole life growing up. I had one of my best friends, his mom used to make chitlins. Like all the fucking time, and we knew it. We could smell it. Yeah. So we walk in the door, it'd be like, oh fuck, here goes Aunt Betty kicking these motherfucking.
And we gonna end it like that.
Chitlins.
Yeah, no more slave food. I love chitlins, but I'm not eating them no more, man.
Yeah, man.
You eat chitlins?
Used to. Why? This is my first year not eating chitlins. It's pretty good taste.
No, it doesn't taste good. Oh my God, it tastes just like it smells. That's the only food. That's the only food that has ever tasted just like it smells. I be watching the TikTok.
I can't remember how they taste.
I be watching the TikToks and I be seeing people like, you know what I'm saying? Oh, you don't clean them right. You didn't clean. You got to do this. Like, look, man, I'm not finna be cleaning nothing for 5 hours.
Yeah.
6 hours, 8 hours.
Just to eat it.
Just to make sure that it tastes good. And then you only get like a little.
Leave it on it.
Then you got like a little.
What?
Some of them said they don't clean them all the way because, you know, that's where the flavor's at. Uh-huh. That's why you can't eat everybody's chitlins. I eat granny's. I'm like, but a lady told me, though. I was at a restaurant. And
hey,
she
man,
at
that
me
shit made
face.
Me want to throw up. Like, just thinking about it. You know what I mean? Make me want to throw up. Man, that shit
Use
is.
Use a nigga.
Yeah, she looked at me in my face and I don't eat no. My granny, it was an older lady. I was just fucking with her. I said, you want some of them pig feet? I don't eat pig feet. You want some of them pig feet right there? She turned around and looked me dead in my eyes. My granny, I'm from Alabama, somewhere in Mississippi. And she said, whatever, Darlene, whatever you do, don't eat that damn slave food.
What part of Mississippi?
Again, huh?
What part of Mississippi?
I don't know where she was from, but her granny was from Mississippi. Like, her granny, like, I don't know the lady from the can of paint. But she's something just hit me in my soul, and I'll probably never eat that shit again. It was starting to get real greasy and slimy. What really turned me off, you freeze that shit, it be about this much of fat on her. You freezing in the bowl, half the damn bowl. So I'm like, that's going in your body. So I'm done with the slave food.
I mean, like, I get it. Like I said, I'm a history guy, so I get it, perspective, and what, you know, you back then you had to do what you had to do.
You had to make it a delicacy.
But nah, man, like, I only eat bacon and pepperoni.
Yeah, me too.
And pork chops. Like, other
I'll
than that.
I'll fuck some pork chops up.
Give me the thin chops. Give me the fuck a thin pork chop.
Man, but you know who got the best thick ass pork chops though? Ooh. Whole Foods. Nigga.
Yeah, I seen one in there.
Nigga, I was just in Whole Foods, you know what I'm saying, trying to do some baller shit one day, you know what I'm saying? Cause that's what old people do. You know what I'm saying? When you get old, you ball at the grocery store. So you know, I'm an old nigga now, so I'm in Whole Foods. And I don't even like that type of food. You know, I would much prefer to go like to HEB or Walmart. Y'all don't got HEBs out here, but I would prefer to go there. And shit, nigga, when I tell you that, shit just be like, I ain't got it in me.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. And we're going to end it just like that, man.
We appreciate you
stopping by.
Thank you so much. But yeah, Whole Foods got the best pork chops. If y'all want to get the big, thick pork chops, go to Whole Foods. They high.
Yeah.
They expensive, but.
And stream this new track, man.
Ah, yeah.
Boom.
Well, we ain't released it yet. This is exclusive.
Oh, this is another Big and Lazy exclusive.
Yeah, we just shot the video last night.
Be looking for it, though, man. It's coming. Rolling up while I hit it. She a pro. Pop that pussy, let it go. If you fucking let me know, put that pussy on the floor. Bad bitches come ready. Text a nigga, come and get it. 93, unleaded, rolling up while I hit it. Ay, she gon' lick the diamonds in my rolling. She done asked me. Then she got the pulling out of tits. She tryna flash me. Told her, bend it over, do that same shit for last week. Put that pussy on me for the finish. This podcast was produced by B. Haywood for Confirmed Podcast Network.
Hey, B. Haywood, Confirmed Podcast Network. Thank you for all the continued support. Continue to check out We Them Girls Podcast as well as Big and Lazy Podcast on the Confirmed Podcast Network. We love you. Thank you for the support. And keep on listening. We got more content coming for y'all. Thank you.
Hey, this is B. Haywood, executive producer of Confirmed Multimedia. And if you want extra content, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/confirmed and get early access to all of our content.
You're listening to Confirmed.